Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson and the part that comes before that in chapter 17, which reads like this. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Kirith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Kirith, that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. That's the text. And the theme is the place of refuge. And to tie the two themes together, both Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church and Veterans Day, Armistice Day. First, we have been blessed to be in a nation that is a place of refuge. A place of refuge for the persecuted of the world. A place of refuge for those seeking religious freedom. A place of refuge for those who want to live for God according to their consciences, who want to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ freely in the land. There are many places in this world where that is not the case. But we know it. We all know it. Everybody who has served in the armed forces knows it. Every veteran knows it. The place of refuge is only temporary. Things come and things go. The changing courses of history make it so that each new generation faces its new challenge. Each new generation faces threats. And there is a need for young men and young women to stand up in defense of our nation and our freedoms and our peoples. And we thank God for that. That is part of what it means to understand what a place of refuge is. And then we go into the Old Testament lesson. And God told Elijah to go and hide in the Kirith Ravine. Just to flesh that out a little bit, there are places all over the Holy Land where there were caves up on the cliffside. And in times of difficulty and depression and danger and times when foreign armies were sweeping through, the Israelites would climb up into the caves. They would fashion ropes and rope ladders to climb down when it was safe to get some provisions and climb back up and just hide in the caves until the danger passed. And that could be for weeks, months, or years. And this is where Elijah is, off in the east, beyond the Jordan. And God makes it a place of refuge, a place where Elijah was able to flee and where he was able to be kept and watched over by God. And then the brook dries up, and there's nothing to drink. And God sends him to Zarephath, to a widow there. And in Elijah coming to the widow at Zarephath, you ask the question, who is a refuge for whom in that situation? And the answer is, why, yes. She is a refuge for him because she becomes a place where he can hide. He is a refuge for her because he brings the word of God, and with the word of God, the blessings from God, that the jug of flour shall not be spent or the oil be used up until there is rain to come on the earth. Place of refuge becomes a terribly important thing through the ages as Christians have faced persecution. The stories are too many to tell. From Peter and John standing in front of the council and then facing beatings for talking about Jesus Christ. Paul, the apostle then, some years later, standing before the emperor on trial for the capital crime of not following the prescribed religions of the empire. And down through the ages, Christians have faced these kinds of things. And always when Christians face this type of persecution, there are some truths that come right to the front. Among those truths, we have a place of refuge. We have a place of refuge that no power in the earth can touch. We have a place of refuge, and it is a refuge for our souls, for our lives, for our well-being. And that place of refuge is in God. Reminded of a certain man, love some of these ancient names, Polycarp of Smyrna, who stood before the governor, and the governor threatened to have him burned at the stake, and Polycarp said, "You threaten me with fire that burns only for a moment? You forget the fire that burns for eternity." And then he's threatened again. And he tells the governor, "I will pray for you as I go to my death." The governor threatens him again. "Simply deny Jesus. Simply, that's all you have to do. You don't really have to mean it. Just say it." Polycarp says, 87 years I have served him and he has done me no wrong. How then can I deny my King and my Savior?" Because for Christians, and this is a basic truth, for Christians, what we have in Jesus is worth more than anything we could lose in this world. Take everything. But if we have Jesus, we have eternity. If we have Jesus, we have every blessing that will be restored to us. He is worth more than all our property, all our reputation, all the years remaining in our lives, because what Jesus gives, he gives forgiveness of sins, he gives the love of God, he gives the promise of rising from the dead. He gives the connection with God, where we belong to God and we share in the resurrection of Jesus. We share in the righteousness of Jesus. And we will share in the blessings of eternal life with Jesus. Paul says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." So Christians take that stand. Another thing that comes right to the front is that all through the history of the world, there is the need for the place of refuge. All through the history of the world. Ever since the Garden of Eden. Because if it is not something happening out there in the world that becomes a threat, if it is not the dangers that we experience day after day, if it is not anything out there, we need a refuge from ourselves. Because not only do we live in a fallen world, we live in a fallen world where we fit in very well as fallen human beings. If we go according to our old sinful nature, the world recognizes us. And we can be friends of the world. But we need a refuge from ourselves. And when we turn and follow Jesus Christ, the world considers us strangers. doesn't know how to take us, figures that we are enemies of some sort or another. And then Christians, age after age, century after century, generation after generation, have experienced the world turning on them. And sometimes it is their own family members. Sometimes it is what they long thought were their friends. And now they face persecution. But it is not just the world that we need refuge from again. It is ourselves, because we fell into sin. And this old sinful nature would drag us away from God and into a Christless eternity. We need a place of refuge. And that refuge is in Jesus Christ, who says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's our place of rest, our place of refuge. There's a third point that comes very quickly to the surface when Christians face persecution. And that is the teaching of Jesus that it is not just for ourselves that he is a place of refuge. So Christians down through the centuries have pleaded with the persecutors not to do away with the persecution, pleaded with the persecutors to please turn and know the Savior. Turn away from the way that leads to death. Turn back to God. Learn this gospel of Jesus Christ. Learn of the love of God that promises forgiveness of sins. And that's the stand of Christians age after age, generation after generation, who face the same trials and persecutions for the name of their Lord. Finally, one last point that comes very quickly to the surface as well, and that is when Christians undergo hardships, it brings a few things into focus. And among those things that come into focus are just how good and wonderful it is to belong to Jesus, just how sweet it is to have Jesus Christ as our place of refuge. All other refuges throughout the history of the world fail in one way or another. They either fail because they are temporary, or they fail because they cannot guard the soul. Jesus alone is the one who is the eternal place of refuge. And it's sweet to know him. In Jesus' name, amen.